Welcome to one of the last sessions of the day. My name is Charlie Earhart. I'm an independent consultant. You can reach me through all these resources. Carehart.org is my website. Carehart on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, GitHub. Everything's easy. Carehart. So we're going to talk today about Tomcat monitoring alternatives and their pros and cons. And I think for some of you, this might be somewhat eye-opening. I'm sure some of you here know more about some of these things than I know. So I'm not putting myself forward necessarily to be an expert, but I just have worked with hundreds of clients per year, about 200 per year, for the past 10 years just doing server troubleshooting. And as I've observed people, I find that they tend to fall into certain camps and they have certain perspectives and certain expectations and they kind of approach things a certain way. And sometimes that gets them in trouble. So I just want to talk about some different ways to look at things, kind of look at the whole sphere of things that surround monitoring, something like Tomcat. And again, in some ways that might be new to you, in some ways that you might think you shouldn't be using that, and we'll talk about that. That's why it's called pros and cons. Okay? So let's start with the day in the life. Anybody feel like this in their job? Roaring fire behind them, people screaming and hollering, everybody's pointing fingers, who's caused the problem, and everybody thinks somebody else started it, and often we are the ones who have to come in and put out the fire, right? So, yeah, if that's you, that's kind of what this is oriented towards. And I've been with you, and, you know, we get dropped behind the fire line to try to put the fire out while everybody else is out there screaming and hollering, running around. So, but who might you be? So you might be an administrator of Tomcat. You might be a developer who wrote something that's on a server that's having troubles and people are complaining about. You might be a user of such an application and have wanted to wring the neck of the people that were responsible for the server. You might be the business owner or a business manager in that organization, and you want to wring the neck of somebody. Right? Somebody's got to pay when these problems happen. And the other thing is that you might be the developer of an application that's causing trouble for other people. We'll talk a bit about that. By the way, can you pull that door shut while you're back there? Just slide that. You might have created an app that you think is fine. Thank you very much. And it may be that your app and the way it's being used may be causing trouble for other people on your server. Okay, so you just never know. So maybe you've been doing this sort of troubleshooting for years. Maybe you're new to it. I just don't know. The good news is that there's a wide range of tools available to help you when you're in this situation. The bad news, again, is that you might be using the wrong tool for the problem you're trying to solve. And it's really kind of like you when you have to fix something and you go into Home Depot, you know, you walk in the door, and there's just this sea of opportunity. And that's what it feels like sometimes when you're facing with these challenges. It can be overwhelming. And another thing to think about is that sometimes you go in knowing what you want to do. You're looking for a particular tool that does what you know you want to do. And that's one way to go. That might be the right way to go in some situations, but it also might be the wrong way to go, going in looking for a particular tool. Or at least you know what you want to do, right? That's maybe a little bit better. You go and know what you want to do, and you go looking for the thing that will help you do what you want to do. So that's another way to go, and it might work. But I'll argue that both could be a mistake. What you really want to do is focus on what the problem is. And so before we get started, let me just do a quick introduction about myself. Like I said, I do this sort of server troubleshooting for a living. I'm just sharing with you experiences that I've had as I've helped other people. Yeah, I think we've covered this enough. So I want to focus on what you might want to do. So what are some common troubleshooting approaches? Let's not talk about tools yet, but let's just have people shout out. What are some of the common approaches that you might take to solving a seeming Tomcat problem? Just throw out some of the things you'd try to do. Not the tools you'd use, but the things you'd do.
Delegate.
Well, there's that. That's a good one, yeah. But on the computer itself, what sort of things might you do? Sure, just start throwing out some ideas. Well, there's that. Thank you very much. But no, what would you do on the computer? Yep, go ahead. Log files. Keep going. There's much more. I know you. Garbage. I look at garbage collection, GC logs, GC tools. Say again. System resources, right? Right, dumps. Let's be clear. What kind of dumps? Thread dumps. What other kind of dumps? Heap dumps. Maybe core dumps. Right? Anything else? Sure, looking at network problems.
Watching the object as they're created.
Sure. Again, kind of related to the watching the memory, watching the GCs. Yep. Yep. Just so many. There's so many approaches we could take to trying to solve problems. So I just listed a few of them. You guys have already addressed many of them. We look at logs, right? Tomcat logs, GC logs, thread dumps, stack traces. So stack traces are specific, looking at a specific thread, and a thread dump is looking at all the threads and the stack traces of all the threads. It's good to know that distinction when you're talking sometimes, because you say you want one thing, what you really want is the other thing. Heap dumps, core dumps. Nobody mentioned this, but JMX, good old JMX, right? You might want to look at that, and we'll talk about that. And there's easy ways to look at it. Sometimes it might be a bit dismaying when you go digging into it, and you're like, oh, there's so much stuff here, and I can't find what I'm looking for. That's a challenge. Nobody mentioned profiling, right? Now, an interesting thing is that maybe somebody didn't think they wanted to mention profiling because they're thinking, well, you're talking about production servers, right? You don't want to do profiling on production, right? And that's generally true. Yes, it's generally true. Some of the vendors of profiling tools have tried to do things to make them more safe to use in production, so I wouldn't dismiss it as readily. But I will make the point that I think that even these are sometimes not where you should be looking. And if you just look at these, you'll be left wondering why you've got this problem. And then snapshots is a concept in some of the tools that come bundle these things up into one logical group of things that you could look at later. So now let's talk about what kind of tools, right? So let's now think, what sort of tools might you use? Just throw out some of the tools you might use. Say again? Java Melody, okay, yep.
Your kit,
yep.
Global.
Say again?
Visual VM,
right. Let's not forget the JVM tools. Throw them out. There's a bunch of them.
Glow root.
I haven't heard of that one. Glow root. Is that GLOW?
Yep.
Root. Glow root. Cool. Thank you.
GC log viewer.
Right. GC log viewer. Many, many more. Say again?
JFI.
Right. Flight recorder. JMC. Java Mission Control. Flight recorder. Yep. We'll talk about that and interesting things going on there. And with Visual VM. Surprising. Okay, well, I'm sure you could keep coming up with them. I won't keep you in suspense. So, you know I'm going to follow up with a list of them. So, there's the built-in tools, and there's tools, and we'll see them in a bit. We'll talk about them more. But there's built-in JVM tools that'll do things like look at thread dumps, take them and look at them, take heap dumps and look at heap dumps, look at the memory spaces. You know, sometimes that's what you need to understand is that maybe it's the perm size that's running out, not the heap. Or the metaspace in Java 8 and above. Looking at GC, timing, triggering GCs, these sort of things, thread profiling, JMX monitoring, manipulating things through JMX, these are all the kinds of tools that you often will think of, and if you didn't know about all of them, like I said, it's overwhelming sometimes. You go Googling stuff and you get led all over the place with possibilities. I'm trying to bring together what they all are, and you know, not that this is new and fascinating information, there's whole sites on the Java website that will list these tools. I'm not saying this is new and different. But if you weren't familiar with them, then good to know that they're there. But my bigger point is that if you are familiar with them, and this is what you have been using, I want to show you that you might be missing out. Now, nobody really mentioned it, but the Tomcat Manager, it can do some stuff. Let's not forget about Tomcat Manager. It can help with some of these things and some more things. And then, of course, there's third-party JVM tools that take some of these functionalities and add to them. Some of them focus specifically on profiling or specifically on memory analysis or specifically on thread dump analysis. And I'll talk about some of those later on. So there are such tools. Just be aware, there's quite a wide range. There's log analysis tools. We talked about GC logs. There's Tomcat logs. There's Access logs. Logs out the wazoo. And it's actually sometimes challenging to sort through the logs, right? And maybe some of you don't want to do that. Some of us love doing it because when you know what you're looking for, when you learn patterns over time, you can pretty quickly spot a problem in a log, but there are tools that can help you analyze the logs, right? So, again, I'm just trying to tell you there's so many possibilities out there that can help you when you're trying to solve a problem. And then finally, there's APM tools, application performance monitoring tools, APM tools. And the thing about them is that they have risen up to kind of fill the gap and to bring these things together into a more unified way so that you don't have to go figuring out how to use all the various built-in tools. And maybe there's warts about the built-in tools that they try to help with. So one of the biggest things, and I'll talk about this later, is that A lot of these tools are focused on what's going on now. And that's great. When you're there on the problem now, that's great. But for instance, what if you were at lunch when the problem happened, or it was overnight, or it was on a container or a cloud VM that's gone by the time you've been told about it? There's all kinds of challenges. And again, some of you might be going, well, that's why we don't use these tools, because in our environment, there's no way they're going to help. I get it. There's pros and cons. Not everybody's working on cloud deployments and Docker containers. Some people have traditional servers, and they may get great value out of even the simplest tools. But I'm saying also that beware, they tend to focus on what's going on now, and you might really need to know what happened 5 minutes ago or an hour ago. But you know what? Sometimes there's value in knowing what just happened seconds ago, but with the wrong tool, you're not seeing the right thing that happened seconds ago. You're focusing on things that maybe you think they're important, and that's all you've had, but if you had something else, you'd go, whoa, I didn't even realize that was happening. I'll do a little demo of that later on. All right, so that's the bigger picture, you know, of the approaches we would use and the tools that we use. Now let's talk about what are some of the problems that we face, all right? So this is really important because, again, if we just go in with our tools, you know, it's like taking a hammer in to screw in, you know, a screw. That's not the right tool. You got to have the right tool for the right problem. So what are some of the problems that we run into? Again, just kind of throw them out. I'm sure several of you have seen many of them, so just throw out some of the common problems that we encounter. Yep? Deadlocking. Well, actually, and we should back up and say, where's the deadlocks, right? Because it could be anywhere. When you say that, do you have anything in particular you're thinking of?
I was just coming up with an example.
Help me out. Thank you very much, Chris.
Network outage.
Okay, network outage, yep.
Memory leaks,
right? And let's stay, you know, focused for the moment on the Tomcat server itself, right? Because we could certainly look beyond, like, deadlocks in the database, network outages. But what about on the database or on Tomcat server itself? So,
long-running transactions,
which you won't see very readily with a lot of these tools. Because if you're looking at threads, you know, a thread dump doesn't necessarily tell you how long the request has been running that's been running on that thread. Sometimes you're looking a little too close, and you need something to back up. So we'll come back to that in a moment.
Running out of
threads, sure, that's a possibility. Running out of memory, come on. Disk space, right? Memory, the various parts of memory in the JVM, different parts of memory, you can run out of some of them. There's more problems, come on. Right, CPU high, disk running out. You know, again, system resource stuff, sure. But even within, let's say just within Tomcat, you might see the CPU high.
Might see a GC stall or something.
Right, GC's hanging up, stopping the world, can happen. If you have the right tools, you can see it happening. Otherwise, you might just perceive it as, hey, the CPU is really high, why? Okay, and there's just many more. So again, like you've seen before, I'll help answer it for you. So high CPU, of course. High memory, of course. Hanging request, certainly. Database calls hanging. So it's a like variation of the deadlock thing. You know, if we're talking about deadlocks in a database, if the database is hanging up for whatever reason, might be deadlocks, might be a long-running query that in the database is selecting tens of thousands of records, and the database server, whatever it is, SQL Server, MySQL, doesn't matter, Postgres, whatever your flavor, most database servers, they might decide to lock that table while this big query is going on, in the hopes that, hey, if I just lock the table and not lock each row, I can let this thing run faster. And it might lock it for a minute or 30 seconds. In some applications, that could be deadly. I've seen them lock it for 5 minutes. That could be really deadly. Because while that lock's going on, maybe you've got a part of your application that needs to insert records or update records. I mean, I see lots of apps where people developed something that in development was great. They were logging on every request, the start of the request, and who it was, and at the end of the request, how long were they active, whatever. Well, each of those inserts and updates, if you can't touch the database that's now being locked, that request hangs while you wait for the database server to respond. So you just never know until you get the right tools to know what's going on. You never know what kind of problems you might run into. But I'm just saying, big picture, database calls hanging, very real possibility of things that can hang you up. Here's another one, external calls hanging. So your app, whether you wrote it or somebody in your organization wrote it and you're responsible for the server, your app that's running inside of Tomcat may be doing an HTTP client call out to some other thing. It might be talking to a single sign-on service. It might be talking to a caching service. It might be talking to a payment gateway. And if the thing that's doing that call from within Tomcat can't reach the thing that's trying to call, or that thing is hung itself, right, because that's another server, somebody else is responsible for that, could be running on anything, who knows, it could be having its own troubles. Well, the kind of stuff floats, you know, downhill, as they say, and it may be that your app now hangs waiting for that external thing that you're talking to. And if you don't know that's going on, you just think, it's stuck. And what happens is often, if one or two or three or five or 10 threads, maybe nobody would notice it, but after it starts to be a lot of requests hanging up because of these reasons, you start getting the phone calls, right? Or your alerts go off because your monitoring tools from the outside are saying the server's unavailable. So you need to then dig in and say, well, what's really going on? And it could be any of these things is what I'm saying. It could be Tomcat crashing, right? It can happen for various reasons. Literally, Tomcat either stops and goes down, or what people often call crashing is really it's just hanging. And again, for various reasons, various circumstances, some of which we've talked about, any of these things could accumulate over time, perhaps within seconds, perhaps within minutes, perhaps within hours. And sometimes, literally, perhaps it would take days. You could have problems accumulating very slowly, and after a period of days, or hours, or minutes, or seconds, depending on the environment, Tomcat may hang or crash. And again, you need to know what's going on, and there's ways to know what's going on. And there's still more. So these are some of the common problems. There's also ones that maybe you wouldn't think of if you were asked to write these down, if I'd asked you to come up with these. Here's some ones maybe you wouldn't think of. How about a problem when there's no traffic, right? So there can be problems that happen either because there's no traffic, like you're supposed to be getting application requests into Tomcat and there's none coming in. That would be a problem if they're supposed to be coming in, and finding out why they're not coming in, that's a problem that needs to be understood. So knowing whether requests are running or not is itself a useful thing. But I'm saying also, there can be problems that happen when there's no request. You could have CPU running out. You could have memory running out, and there's no request running. And that's what often people would call a memory leak, for instance, if the memory's rising up and they're looking and there's no long-running request. There's no request that's creating a bunch of objects. Where's the use of memory coming from? And it could be all kinds of things. It could be, persistent variables stored in memory over time across requests. It could just be all kinds of things. So, again, you just never know. And you need to know what's going on, literally down to, are there requests running or not? There could be times when the end user's request is slow, and yet if you had tools that told you what was going on the server itself, you'd go, well, they're running fast on the server. I don't know why you're saying they're slow, because I'm looking at the server, and they're going fast. I can see the database requests go fast. I can see the requests finish in Tomcat fast. I know you're saying it's slow, but I just want to be clear, everybody, it's not Tomcat. It's not the application. And that's important sometimes to be able to say, because then that directs you to say, well, then where must the problem be? And it could be any number of possible places. And you start to think, once you've got that information, where else could the problem be? And of course, you can start going out, say, is it the web server connector? Is it the web server? Is it the firewall? Is it the network getting into the box? Is it the end user sitting on a phone, on a terrible network sitting in a conference? Now, we've actually had great Wi-Fi in here. I want to thank you guys who are responsible for that, because I can tell you from a lot of experience at a lot of conferences, you're lucky to get, 100K. And we've been getting about 10 meg on average all the time, which is perfectly adequate. So thank you very much for that. Okay. So those are some of the common, less common problems that you consider. And then I wasn't finished. I had a couple more. Yep. So Tomcat could be crashing frequently. So you may not think of this. If you're not paying close attention, you may not notice that what the problem is that Tomcat is crashing frequently, unexpectedly, and you weren't even aware of it. So you want to have tools that can help you to know how long has it been up and running? Did it go down? Has it come back up? How long was it down? And how many times has it been coming up? And various tools can tell you that sort of thing, which can be very interesting. And I kind of alluded to this already. You could be having web server issues, whether it's Apache or Nginx or IIS. You can have web server issues, and if the problem happens there, the stuff might not even make it into Tomcat, or it might make it there but be slow to get there. And you can have web connector issues, whether it is in AGP or HTTP. So just be aware of that. Sometimes that's where the problem is. And there's no way in this, you know, this isn't a troubleshooting class. This is about tools that are available. And so I won't be able to get into the depth of what the possibilities are with all these things. But I will see, help you see that there's tools that if you were at least look at them and leverage them appropriately, you could know, well, the problem isn't in Tomcat. It must be somewhere else, for instance. That's kind of where I was going with that. And we already talked about this, is that there are things beyond Tomcat itself that could be at issue, and you want to be thinking about this. So it could be CPU or memory or disk or network problems on the box, on the Tomcat box, or on the boxes of the services that you're talking to, database servers, SSO servers, payment gateways. You know, you might have stuff within your environment that are other things that people in your organization are responsible for, caching servers, just you never know. And so it can help for you to know for sure what's going on the Tomcat box, and it can help for somebody to be aware of what's going on the other box, even if it isn't you. And same with issues with VMs. A lot of people don't think about this, but I find this often. We dig and dig and dig and find that there's just no apparent problem on the server that's running Tomcat. And yet, there's weird things like high CPU or memory's running out when the OS is saying there's plenty of memory. And you dig a little bit further and you find out sometimes the problem is with the host that your VM's running on. Now, if you're running in a, you know, enterprise class, cloud deployment, AWS, Azure, the other sort of things, you'd hope that they would take care of it. But I've worked with a lot of people who it's just some other schmo down the hall that's responsible for the VM host in their environment, and they may or may not be doing their job very well. They often don't even know about good tools for monitoring their own environment. And it turns out we find out, yes, there was a problem on the host. It was over-allocated. There were too many VMs. They were telling too many VMs they could have, you know, 16 gigs of memory each, and then and there was 10 of them on the box, and there was only, you know, 50 gig, 64 gig, things like that. So you just never know. Now, it's a challenge for us that are responsible for the box, let's say Tomcat's running on, because we don't have insight into that. All we know is, I'm just telling you, you could start to learn that something doesn't add up. The things that you're seeing happening don't have explanations in anything that makes sense on the box. Sometimes it is going to be in the host, or in other VMs running on the host. And this is the old shared hosting stuff that we used to deal with many, many, many years ago. It's coming back to roost sometimes on VMs. I've been in scenarios where people, their, what they were doing on their VM was fine, but some knucklehead that was also on the host, even though it's supposed to be isolated and you're supposed to be granted, you know, what you've been told you've been granted, it turned out, because of a combination of factors, sometimes there was a negative impact. So just keep that in mind. Again, we can't really do too much to know that from the inside of the VM, but just be aware that sometimes if you've tracked down as you could with whatever tools you had, there were still weird problems that couldn't be explained. Don't forget, maybe it's something like that. We're nowhere near the end. I don't know what's going on. Maybe that person ran really long. We'll go with that. Exactly. Thanks, sir. So the next problem is a challenge of scale. All right. So what we've been talking about has been mostly focused on things that would apply whether you had one server or many. But boy, when you start to have many, that changes the game entirely when you have several servers or dozens of servers or hundreds of servers that are a part of the environment. You need a way to keep an eye on all of them. You need ways to be notified among all of them when there's trouble. And so again, different tools have the ability to watch many or to notify you about problems from many. And we're talking about cloud deployment, Docker containers. Another challenge, like I said earlier, is that by the time you even know there's a problem, the instance is gone. You go to look at it and it's gone. And some people use that as a problem-solving feature, thinking, well, I don't need to worry about the problem. I'll just let it go away. That's why we're having scalable cloud deployments. If one goes bad, we could just let others spin up. And that's, you know, that is part of the benefit of it. But you really shouldn't just ignore the problem, because it's probably going to come back. And it could start to cause trouble. And, you know, just keep that in mind. You really want to solve the problem. So if I've scared you away, that's not my goal. I'm not here to scare you. I just want you to know, and I also want you to be overwhelmed. Don't worry that there's so many tools. I'm just saying that there's a place for the various tools that are available. And not all tools are going to be best suited to solving all problems. And that part may seem obvious, but again, my experience from working with people is that some people do only know about certain tools or certain approaches or focus on certain problems. And I've just, with this introduction, tried to open up your eyes to other possibilities. So now, enough chatting, let's talk about some demos. So I've got a Confluence demo, just to pick an example of an app running on Tomcat. So Atlassian, the company, makes Confluence the, what would we call it? I guess it's a CMS, content management system. And I've got it running on Tomcat on this box, so it's not a, you know, I'm not going to do load testing or anything like that. But what I want you to see is that here it is running. You know, don't worry about what the page does or what the URL is. Just know it's running on my server. Excuse me. And I've got Tomcat underlying it. And if people were using it and clicking around on it and complaining that there was a problem, they'd be coming to you. Sorry, I got a mouse over there. There it is. They'd be coming to you to ask, you know, why is that so slow to respond? That should have come up in just a second. Why did it take 2 or 3 seconds? You know. So if you didn't know much better, you'd probably be whipping out your Java tools, right? So you might have Visual VM. So there's Visual VM. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. Give me just a second. I just realized I didn't plan for moving my mouse around. I want to get the screens on the right side. There you go. There you go. So we'll talk a little bit later about how you could configure these things. Again, you know, we're not going to get into a whole lot of depth about that sort of thing because you can Google it and find out about it. I'm going to have links for you to go read about it. But the point is you can configure your Tomcat to be able to be watched by tools like Visual VM, JMX remoting arguments, and I'll mention them later on. But the point is, let's say that's been done, and then up there in the top left, it found my Tomcat implementation, and this is that particular instance that's been running for a while. And, you know, it's very high-level stuff, but it's great. It's better than nothing. Let me just say this, you know, it's possible that some people watching this presentation have not even ever fired up something as simple as this, and they didn't know that they could know what was going on inside of Tomcat. So you can certainly see things like the CPU usage within Tomcat, the heap use within Tomcat, classes being loaded, threads, their state, their number, and that's, you know, interesting. And so this is what's called the monitor tab of Visual VM. There's also an overview tab that gives you some insight into the, what were the JVM arguments that brought it up. There's also a threads display. So every request, you know, in fact, I thought about having a slide for this, but I didn't. But let's just stop for a second and say, you know, with most people's Tomcat-based applications, it's, you know, some Java application. Could be Spring, could be JSP, servlets, struts, doesn't matter. Could be web service calls coming in, could be REST service calls comes in, could be WebSocket calls coming in. But they're all requests, typically, of some sort. And those requests then run on a thread, on an underlying Java thread. Now, this is not the threads that are running the underlying requests. These are other threads. This deployment of Confluence happens to run on something called H2 as an underlying database, so it's spinning up a lot of threads. That's interesting to note. But the point is that this is showing all the threads running in the JVM, and I can page up and down and see them, and I can sort things by CPU and time and stuff like that. And that might be interesting, but often it's really not going to be that interesting because, you know, what are you going to do with this? It's in a certain state, whatever the colors mean, it's in that state. First of all, how would you connect what thread you're even interested in? Second, how would you connect what thread goes with what request is running? And then most importantly, how can you tell from this how long that request has been running? And this is the thing, a request in Tomcat could run on one thread, finish, and another request comes in and it could start up on that same thread. You know, as long as the thread's available, Tomcat's just gonna run the next request, possibly on the same thread, and you might think you're seeing an indication of a long-running thing when in fact it was really multiple short-running things. So you really can't do too much with this itself. Now, some of you know that what you can do with threads is say, well, what are you doing, Mr. Thread, under the covers? What are you doing at this moment? That's that thing called a stack trace, or a thread dump is to say, give me a list of all the threads and the stack traces of all those requests. And these tools can let you do that as well. And then we're talking about Visual VM here, which, by the way, let me back up. I didn't say this, but Visual VM is built into the JVM. And I say this later, but I should have said it up front. It's built into the JDK, the Java Developer Kit. It's not in the JRE, the Java Runtime Environment. Somebody else, you or somebody else, might have set up Java on the server that Tomcat's running on. They could have got the JRE, in which case you don't have the JDK. But you can get the JDK for free from Oracle, download it, install it, and run it to point at this. In fact, this is an example where this was running on a JRE, but sorry, the Confluence was running on a JRE, and then I've got the JDK separately running, and I just literally right-clicked on it and ran it. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was going to talk about that later, but let's get it out of the way now. So Visual VM, as of, wasn't it 9, Java 9, it's spun off, and it's now on GitHub. So it's no, I say that part later, I should have said it earlier. So Visual VM was in the JDK up until Java 9, and then as of Java 9, it's now in GitHub. And, still available, still looks the same. So, yeah, good, thank you for pointing that out. Yep, okay. So I just wanted to show you some of the things that were possible in it. There's also sampler features up here, and you can take CPU sampling and memory sampling. And sometimes that'll be interesting, sometimes it won't. Again, depending on the nature of the problem you're trying to fix, a lot of these things really won't connect you to say, is a request running long, or why is that request running long? But if you could figure out what thread it was running on and what that thread was doing and what threads were spending a lot of time spinning CPU, that might help guide you. If you had nothing else, that might guide you to finding a problem. And I'll just say that sometimes this is what people have had. And no wonder they've had challenges trying to solve problems, because this doesn't really connect you back necessarily to the request that's causing the problem. It's a thread. It's a little too low level. It's kind of like getting an X-ray to find out that you got a cold. It's not the right tool to solve that problem. But, you know, it can help in some problems. Don't want to dismiss it entirely. So anyway, you can take, CPU sampling, memory sampling, and then there's also a profiling feature, which, again, you can take a CPU profile and you can take memory profiles. And I'll leave you to explore those things. I just wanted you to be aware that these things were available. Was that another comment? Okay. All right, so that's Visual VM. And I'll back up and say this. I said it earlier, but if you try to run this against your Tomcat and you don't see your Tomcat in there, it's probably because you didn't configure Tomcat to be exposed to be accessible to a tool like this. So first of all, if you're on the same box as the Tomcat, it'll go pretty smoothly in most cases. But if it's on another box, or if it's running as a service or a daemon, then you might need to enable this thing called JMX Remote. It's a JVM argument. And again, I'll point you a little more about it later. Just write that down, that you'll need to do that. And again, I'm not going to belabor that point, because if you try to use it and it doesn't work and you Google the error that you get, you'll be told right away, this is what you got to do, and just do it. And you'll have to modify the arguments that start up Tomcat. Now, that's its own little nest of fun, because it depends on how it's running, if it's running as a service or if it's running as a command line tool. You'll find plenty of resources about that. Again, this isn't a day-long talk. I can't get into all the things to be aware of. So next, is there anything else in particular anybody would want to point out about Visual VM that I hadn't thought to make a comment about? Okay.
The JConsole JMX thing that you can do.
In here?
Yes, through the plugin.
Yes, that's a good point. I should have mentioned plugins. So there's lots of plugins. Visual VM is an extensible architecture, and there are plugins, open source and commercial, probably mostly open source, but from open source projects and from third-party vendors is what I want to say. There are third-party vendors who offer free plugins for Visual VM to do all kinds of things. And I'll mention a few of them later on in passing. So yes, you could definitely get more. such as to look at the JMX. Yep. And then there's other things I'll show you in a moment that also have JMX. So for instance, let's just move right on to mission control. So mission control, you know, might to some people, might feel to some people to be a little more complete in some ways, although it can be overwhelming when you first come to it. Now again, let me back up and say that mission control is JMC, Java Mission Control. It's in the JDK, right? In the bin directory of your JDK is JMC. And when you run it, it presents this interface. And it's got really a lot of stuff to it. You could miss it if you just kind of looked at this and say, well, it feels like it's Visual VM, you know, a slightly different way of presenting information, but it's the same stuff. There's my heap, and there's my CPU use, and okay, there's some cool graphs. Well, a lot of this is extensible. You can tell it to look at any number of things and graph them, and that's interesting, and I'll leave you to explore that. There's buttons and right-clicks and all that stuff, so definitely check that out. And by the way, towards the end, I give you specific links, and this presentation will be posted on my website. Everybody's asked so far, the presenters. I forgot to say that. I meant to say it up front. Yes, I'll have this posted on my website. And is there going to be a place for us to... Usually there is, right?
Okay. Conference has got one. Yeah. Mail to Devlin. We'll link to it from the Tomcat presentation page on the website.
So it'll be on the Apache conference site, yeah. And the Tomcat users list will link to it. Yeah. But I'm saying, so everybody, if you wanted to see one and you didn't ask, it should be. And I assume you guys would follow up the presenters and say, hey, you guys, we'd like you to offer your links, right? So you should be able to get it there as well. But again, on my site as well. So anyway, I was saying that I offer, towards the end, links to more about each one of these things so you could find it. Again, you could Google it yourself, but I wanted to help you a little bit. Anyway, what I was trying to say about mission control is, well, and in fact, let me get this out of the way because someone probably wanted to point it out. How about mission control? Anybody know what happened there? It was, well, right, but there's been some recent history. Anybody know what the recent history was? Isn't that the one where the whole team was let go? Yeah. So Oracle said they were going to open source it, and then they let go of everybody on the team, which is a bummer. Because there was a lot of smart people underlying this stuff, and they're gone. There's a couple people left, and there's one guy in particular that's still kind of actively talking about it a lot. I think I have that right. If I get anything wrong, just let me know. But I saw some heads nodding, so you agree. Anyway, so what I wanted you to see was that in here, you could easily miss this. Down here at the bottom are these tabs. It's not at the top where you might expect to be looking for stuff, down here at the bottom. And so there is a JMX Bean browser. So you could get the JMX plugin, but if you use this, you can just come look at this. And look, there on the left in the middle is all the different classes of available JMX metrics. And then underneath them, there's usually other things. And underneath those, there's often still other things, and they can be really interesting. So for instance, I happen to be looking here at the Java Lang, and if we look at, I know this is a little bit small, and I don't know that there's a way that I could zoom this out for you to see it, but just take my word for it that you can go into this garbage collector and look at, this happens to be running on G1 GC, so there's the old gen and the young gen, and with, say, the old gen, you can see things like when was the last GC done, and how long did it take, and how many GCs have there been? This says, I think, 5 up there. It's kind of fuzzy from here. How often have they happened? How long have they taken? Some very interesting stuff that, you, again, if you had no insight into what's going on, what's our typical way of getting stuff like this? GC logging, right? If you just kind of look around, you'd be told, put in GC log arguments in your JVM and then dig through the logs or pass them to tools. And I'll show you later, there are tools that you can pass the logs to that'll help you. But tools like this have it built in. You can just dig right in. So again, this is JMC, the Java Mission Control. And in the MBean browser, you can come and look at pretty much anything. And maybe you didn't know this, a lot of the JMX stuff is not just read-only, but also editable. So you can make changes in here, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why you want to be careful when you configure these things to be exposed. So I didn't get into it, but when you put in those JMX remote arguments for your startup, there's additional arguments that can control, you know, authentication and security and whether it has to be over SSL and who has to log in and what realm to use and all that sort of stuff. So again, I'll leave you to look into that more on your own. But if you set it up so that it could at least be seen by you in your environment alone, you can see what's going on. on your application environment in greater levels of detail than you might have ever thought was possible. So this is JMX-based stuff, Java Management Extensions. Now, if you could just look at them, that'd be cool enough. And there's some stuff up there that you can look at about operations and notifications. But sometimes people don't even notice that there's much more still. There's triggers. So you can watch for circumstances and say, when those circumstances arise, do some action. And there's a bunch of them pre-configured. And then there's ones that you could add in. You could right-click and add any trigger for any JMX argument. And I should back up and say that the JMX stuff, there's stuff that Java exposes. There's stuff that Tomcat exposes. You could configure your application to expose stuff. And your application exposing JMX would be available in here. And you could write triggers that would detect number of people logging in, number of products purchased, number of failed shopping carts, you know, abandoned, whatever. If you wanted to track it, you could track it and then have tools like this and others, there's others, but they can look at this JMX stuff and make alerting decisions based on them. Now, they're very simplistic alerting capabilities. You can have it pop up a notification here in the tool. You can have it send an email. Very simple thing. So it's not as powerful as some more evolved tools. And again, that's where third parties have stepped in and said, hey, we can send to Slack and to HipChat and to whatever, you know, might float your boat, SMS messages, whatever. So there's limits to what you can do here. Although you can also tell it to call anything, and that thing could turn around and do whatever you want. Okay, so how are we doing on time? 46 minutes, 10 minutes left. Okay, so I just want to say a couple things. You know, I'll leave you to dig some more into some of these things. They're very interesting. Just one more thing I wanted you to see, kind of old school, but you might come across it, and that's JConsole. And it, you know, provided some of the same kind of capabilities in an older interface, but you might find it and use it, and it'd be interesting. The thing that these have not done, which I've said, but I want to say again, is they don't give you insight into what's going on in the request. And some of the APMs out there will watch what's going on from a request perspective. And I just want to put a pitch in for one that I use all the time. I like it. And you've probably never heard of it. It's called Fusion Reactor. Fusion Reactor. And it can run with any Java application server, not just Tomcat, Glassfish, Jetty, Wildfly, JBoss. And it's very much more focused on requests. And in particular, for instance, if I look at requests history, I can just right away see, while I've been talking, these are the requests that have been running. These are the 100 most recent requests that have been running. I can see when they ran, who they came from, what app they were, what Java thread they ran on, what was the URL, what was the query string. I could dig into them and see if they did any query. I'm just going to pick one randomly. And if it did a query, then under JDBC, I'd see the SQL statements that ran against whatever database, or if it was ORM, Hibernate called in the background, even if it wasn't called from a standard, you know, query within the code. Point is, it's very, very much oriented towards looking at requests and request history, slowest requests. I can quickly come in here and look at what have been the 100 slowest requests. Now, this particular app hasn't had anything terribly slow, but that's in descending order, and it actually has profiling built in. So I could look at this and say, well, of that time that was spent, what methods did it spend most of its time in? So it's an aggregation of the time spent across the methods. I'm not going to go into much more detail than that, just to say this is a tool that I help people use all the time because it gives insight in ways that I've not found other tools to do. And if we had more time, we could talk about other ones.
But the profiler option is to be enabled?
No, it's enabled by default. So there's an example where I was saying some third parties have enabled profiling in such a way as to not be so deadly as you might think. I'm saying not being as deadly as you might think. So, for instance, what Fusion Reactor does is it only starts profiling it once it's been 3 seconds old, and it profiles it every 200 milliseconds. And it's always been high performance. If it's ever not, they would want to fix it. So this is, you know, coming out of, it's been doing the profiling for about 3 years, and if there was a problem, they would have fixed it. So it is on by default for any request that's slower than 3 seconds. But anyway, that's just that. When there's others that are like it. I don't want to get bogged down in this particular one, but thank you for asking. And after my presentation, Leon's going to talk about Mosquito, which is another Java application monitoring tool. So again, as I said, I knew I didn't have time to demo. There's so many in Java and in the space. But just to show you that there's these other ones to be aware of, Tomcat Manager, it's not enabled by default. Be careful again about security concerns with it. But it can do, show you server status, can watch sessions, can help with memory leaks, trigger thread dumps. There's a REST API to it. There's the user interface and even Ant automation. So you can learn more about the Tomcat Manager at this URL, which again you'll see. And I'm sorry, I don't know why those are suddenly doing that. Then as far as tools on the JVM, some of them are only in certain versions. I alluded to that already. Most of them are most easily used if you enable JMX remoting. You might want to run as administrator to use them. So there's JVM, JVisual VM, like I said, removed as of Java 9. Mission control. And then, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I thought I'd fix that. JCMD, relatively new version of a command line. You know, if you're going to do things at the command line, check out JCMD versus the older things like JStack and JMap and JStat. And then as far as profilers are concerned, Visual VM can do it, Mission Control can do it, and then there's third parties like YourKit, JProfiler, and XRebel, NetBeans. Spyglass has a plugin for Visual VM, and others in APMs do this stuff as well.
Sure.
Taking thread dumps, Visual VM, Mission Control can do it, Tomcat Manager can do it, and then there's these various ways to do it depending on your OS. And then there's tools to analyze them, classic ones like TDA, Samurai, and then web-based services like FastThread.io. You just pass them your thread dump, and they'll analyze it for free right there in front of you. And then another plugin for Visual VM and Site 24/7, just so many. And again, APMs all can do it. We'll come back to them in a moment. Heap dump tools, you can take them, and then you can analyze them. Mat and Eclipse, JHat, a tool called Heap Hero, same people that did that thread tool, Plumber, Nastel. So again, I'll leave you to look into these. You'll get the slides later. Check them out. If that stuff interests you, if you like to do profiling, or if you like to do heap dumps or thread dumps, there might be tools that do it in a way that's a little bit better than the way you've been doing it, perhaps by hand. There's tools to analyze GC logs, GC EZIO. Again, you just pass them your GC log. They'll do the analysis and tell you what they find. There's an open source GC viewer, talked about earlier. There's tools to manage and store and search logs, the ELK stack or Elastic Stack. Logs.io is a service-based implementation of that. FluentD, Splunk, Loggly, Sumo Logic, Humio. Again, you can learn more about logging tools in more detail from a nice little blog post there from New Relic. And then APMs, so many. I'm just going to tell you the list of them to be aware of. You should check them out yourself to decide which ones might appeal to you. AppDynamics, Dynatrace, New Relic APM, and then Java Melody, Plumber, Apito, Perfino. They just go on. Semitex, Stackify, who has both prefix and retrace. And some of these have free things, so don't dismiss them and think you can't afford to pay for them. Of course, they all have free trials, but some of them have free implementations, maybe under some limitation. But check it out. And Mosquito we'll see later in a moment. Hocular, Nastel, and then that Fusion Reactor that I mentioned, and more. Just real quickly, most of the APMs are implemented as Java agents. So again, you have to modify the startup of Tomcat to get that Java agent in there. But often you can put more than one in and run multiples and see what you think. Some tools can auto-attach even without touching your configuration. Check that out. JProfiler, for instance, can do that. Some can auto-register, so that if you're spinning up instances dynamically, they can automatically reach out and do the configuration that needs to be done. And I just want to repeat the value of looking at things over time, value of alerting, monitoring from a central place. If you have lots of servers, those are things to be aware of as you consider. So again, just be aware that profiling and heap dumps and thread dumps. By the way, how are we doing on time? Oh, we're done. Okay, that's good. We're right at the end. And then you need to watch what requests are running and have run. And with that, thank you all very much.